Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin third quarter 2010 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome to this to the conference call where we will discuss the third quarter results. I will just go over a few highlights, and then Mr. Andrea Senaldi is going to drive you through the presentation with the financial results. Let me remind you first that this is the first quarter where we are reporting the business of Murex within our financials. Murex business, I remind you that we took over in June 1st. There has been a certain period, especially in the first couple of months, where the business has been handed over to DiaSorin. Distribution of the products is still, for the vast majority, done through the Abbott organization, and this is due to the fact that we are working to obtain registration of products in the name of DiaSorin in the different geographies where that is needed, and then as soon as that will be obtained, we will take full control of the distribution of the products. Notwithstanding that, Murex, we see from the Murex revenues that what we bought from Abbott is what we expected. So roughly 40 to 42 million euros of end user sales, which represents one-time revenues that what was represented to us by Murex at the time of this transaction. As far as Murex is concerned, I would like to highlight one event that was made public yesterday. As you know, with Murex, we acquired two manufacturing sites, one in South Africa and the other one in England. After the initial analysis, we have understood that in the English site, we had overcapacity, and therefore we have initiated yesterday a process that will be concluded in the next 4 weeks that will reduce the head counts of the site by 40%. This again will be concluded in quarter four, and starting January 1st, the business then will run with optimal operating expenses. Now, as far as the rest of the business is concerned, again, this has been another very strong quarter for DiaSorin, especially taking in consideration the results that have been reported by some of our competitors in this field, showing that it is difficult today to play in the diagnostic business. Notwithstanding that, we had a growth like for like over 20%. This growth is the result of a strong success in all geographies. The U.S. Continues to grow in number of placements of Liaison as well as in the business, driven by the continued success of vitamin D and infectious disease strategy. In Europe, we are enjoying in different countries a good revenue trend for all our product lines. We have been also awarded in Europe of some vitamin D contract after Roche has failed to provide a good quality product, as they announced recently. You will not see this effect on revenues, but we have initiated to place Liaison, so we expect that we will see additional revenue effect on this starting from quarter four. China and Asia Pacific, again, very strong growth. This is driven by two facts. One in China is the continuous growth of the install base. We have now 240 liaisons installed in China and growing steadily, showing that there is a very strong opportunity in the country with the traditional DiaSorin menu. As far as Australia is concerned, we are enjoying a very strong growth in our vitamin D business, as well as the debacle of Roche has provided us with opportunity to fully consolidate our dominance in the Australian market. Finally, as far as South America is concerned, I believe that we are in good track for in Brazil, where the liaison install base is growing again. And I foresee, and we are integrating the business from Nurex, and the integration is going very well. As well as the fact that we are reaching critical mass in the country after the Nurex acquisition, we are now enjoying the opportunity of engaging with new distributors in countries that were before underrepresented. And South America is contributing significantly to the growth of the liaison base. Overall, as you have seen from the report, we have increased our net liaison install base by 157 units, which is an outstanding result. This number is split quite evenly between all the geographies. So Europe, North America, and Asia Pacific pretty much have enjoyed the same number of liaison systems, and Latin America is trailing after those geographies. As far as R&D is concerned, we have announced that by the end of November we will launch the Liaison XL. The launch will happen with the screening products. We are waiting for the final CE mark of the products. HIV has been already CE mark. HCV and HBV, we just responded a few weeks ago to a deficiency letter, and we expect that by the end of this month that we will have the CE mark approval for all the screening line, which will be made available with the Liaison XL starting from the end of this month. In Australia, again, as I said before, from a geography point of view, we are now operating with our own direct subsidiary, and this was very relevant as far as our ability to respond to the vitamin D opportunity and engaging with the customers that were not with us but were with Roche, but because of the quality issue wanted to switch to our own product. At this point I would leave Andrea to go through the financial, and then we will take questions.
Thank you, Carlo. Good afternoon or good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I will use the slide number one just to recap the key highlights for the quarter and the first 9 months of the year. So as Carlo already mentioned, we are reporting very strong revenue growth. In quarter three, we closed the quarter with 108 million revenues at consolidated level. The growth versus previous, the similar quarter of the previous year is 45.7%. Clearly, there is a component to that coming out from the newly consolidated Murex business. However, if we look at the growth on a like-for-like basis, same consolidation area, the company is growing almost 29% quarter versus quarter. And excluding the effect of the positive effect of exchange rate, that the company is growing, as Carlos said, 21.5% versus the same quarter of previous year. We are also continuing to record an exceptional number of placements, 157 in the quarter, which brought the overall install base at the end of September 2010 at almost 3,500 instruments, exactly 3,447. Consistently with the growth of the top line, we continuously improved our operating margins. EBITDA grew almost 48% in the quarter versus previous year, and EBIT grew 50% versus previous year. If you then look at the net earnings improvement, the growth quarter versus quarter has been 44% in 2010 versus 2009. One thing which is important to notice is, as you may remember, quarter three of 2009 also enjoyed tax benefits of a non-recurring kind. And therefore, if we were to analyze the growth of earnings on a like-for-like basis, the growth would be 61.4%. I will come back to each individual item I just mentioned in the next few slides. Now, if we move to slide number two, the income statement for the quarter, we already mentioned the revenue growth. I have to point out the evolution of gross profit. The gross profit grew by 44%, so slightly less than proportionally to the increase in the revenue, with a decrease by almost one percentage point in at gross margin level. Now, this is entirely due to one-off effects coming out of the consolidation of the Nurex business. One thing that you have to understand is that by virtue of the distribution agreements we have with Abbott, which will last for 12 to 18 months after closing, we have initially sold back the inventory that we bought through the asset purchase agreement. That accounts for about $3 million. And the resale of the inventory was performed at basically no margin. So if you discount that effect, the growth of the improvement at gross margin would be on a like-for-like basis moving from the 69.5% of last year to 73.4%. And again, we will come back to this. The total operating expenses for the quarter is almost $34 million, with an incidence of the turnover which is more than one percentage point lower than the previous year. We are reporting other operating expenses in line with the previous quarter, with the same quarter of the previous year, and the net effect, as I mentioned before, is that the EBIT has moved up by 50% versus quarter three 2009, with a ratio of the turnover which is up one percentage point from 34% to 35%, and EBITDA, which again has moved in line with the EBIT, with again an improvement in the ratio towards turnover from 40.2 to 40.8. We have recorded net financial income in the quarter, which is basically related to the mark-to-market evaluation of our hedging instruments, so the one the forward cover on the cash flows coming from the U.S. and therefore denominated in U.S. dollar. The net effect is that we closed the quarter with a net result of $24 million versus $17 million of the same quarter of previous year. Now, if we move to the slide number four, where the details of the revenue breakdown by technology is recorded, not dissimilarly from the previous quarter, the growth of the top line is entirely driven by the Liaison product. The chemiluminescence technology grew by 41% quarter 3 2010 versus quarter 3 2009. And what is driving the growth is clearly the continuous growth of the vitamin D market, on top of which we are adding market share gains, particularly as far as European markets are concerned. The continuous enlargement of the installed base, as I mentioned, 157 instruments placed in quarter three, and the distribution agreement, the new distribution agreements that we opened in the previous quarter in Latin America, that are now generating additional revenues, particularly as far as CLIA reagents are concerned. As a consequence of the continuous growth of the technology, chemiluminescence today accounts for about 71% of our portfolio if we exclude the Murex product. The Murex product adds another 5 percentage points basically to the 15% that they reported in the slide of ELISA-based. Remember, all Murex products are ELISA-based products. As we move to the analysis of the order breakdown by geography, and again, I have to first of all underline the fact that Murex products and Murex sales are not currently consolidated within the traditional regional management by which we represent our sales, simply because of the logistic arrangements that we have to follow in terms of selling into the Abbott supply chain. Therefore, they are kept separate. So the traditional liaison, the traditional DSO in business is showing a growth around 11% as far as Europe is concerned, with peaks in France where the sales are growing 27%. Latin America is growing at 25%, particularly driven by, as I just mentioned, the new distributors agreement. Asia Pacific is growing to a very significant 67%, and China in the quarter has basically doubled their turnover. And North America is growing at 47% on a comparable effect, exchange rate basis at 32.5%. As we go back to profitability on slide number 7, there is a summary of the facts that I mentioned before. So gross margin, including the Murex business, the first consolidation of the Murex business, is up 43.7% versus the similar quarter. If we exclude Murex, and if you exclude the dilutive effect that I mentioned before on the initial sales of inventories to Abbott distributors, the ratio to turnover is moving up from 69.5% to 73.4% of total sales. EBITDA, again, on a like-for-like basis, is moving from 40.2% of revenues to 43.6% of total sales. And EBIT, on a similar basis, is moving from 34.2% to 38.1%. So, yet again, another quarter of very significant improvements in the profitability of the group on a like-for-like basis. What is driving the margins is clearly the structural events that we continue seeing quarter-on-quarter. So the improvement in the technology mix between other technology versus chemiluminescence, of which clearly vitamin D is one fundamental factor. Plus, I would say, the operational leverage on the structural cost of the company, so the leverage on operational expenditures, which has reduced the incidence of OPEX by more than 1 percentage point in the quarter. Net results up from 22.8% of previous year to 22.5%, but on a comparable basis from 20.3 to 22.5 if we exclude the tax benefits I mentioned before. As far as slide number 8 is concerned, here we have a summary of the year-to-date performance of the group. Again, very significant growth rate, 31.2%, of which the contribution for the Murex business accounts for some 6 percentage points. Gross margin, even including the dilutive effect of the first consolidation of Murex, is up from 70.1% of revenues to 70.7%. The leverage of operational expenses is expanded vis-à-vis the quarter, so we're talking now about 2 percentage points of lower incidence on sales. Other operating expenses, I remind you, include a significant amount of non-recurring costs which are related to the due diligence expenses serving the Munich acquisition, plus the withholding tax, which is not recoverable from the group tax position, of the intercompany financing, which again was used to sustain the purchase price of Murex. The net financial expenses are positive for $500,000 as a consequence of the devaluation of the US dollar against the hedging policy. And the net result of the group at the end of the first 9 months is approaching the 70 million euros, 67.3 million exactly, with a growth versus previous year by almost 25%. Now again, if you discount the one-off fiscal effect that we enjoy in 2009, the true growth of the net profit is close to 40%, 40. As far as the other operational indicators are concerned, EBIT at 107 million in 9 months represents a ratio of turnover of 36%, and EBITDA 122 million represents a ratio of 41.5%. As far as the balance sheet is concerned, the net capital employed has grown significantly, clearly as a consequence of the Murex acquisition. We have acquired assets of tangible, intangible nature, as well as working capital. But working capital, what we acquired is basically inventories of both finished products in the distribution network, as well as raw materials and semi-finished products in the two manufacturing sites. Against the net capital employed, we are today having shareholders' equity for almost 290 million euros and a net financial position which has returned positive in the quarter for in excess of 16 million euros. Just a few comments on slide number 10 on the financial performance of the company. In the first 9 months, we have generated operating cash flow of 74 million euros before capex of 20 million and clearly excluding the Murex acquisition. The positive financial position of 16.4 million at September 30th comes after dividend payment in the year of 11 million. A share capital increase of 7.3 million, which is the result of the exercise of the stock option plan in September this year. We have paid for the Murex business 45.6 million, and we have been able to reimburse our financial loan for 4.5 million euros in the course of the first 9 months. At the end of September, the group was retaining almost 50 million in cash. Last but not least, if we come to the outlook of the remaining of 2010, we have revised again upward our expectation given the performance so far achieved without the contribution of the Murex business. We believe that the growth of 2010 versus previous year will be in excess of 20%. And all the profitability indicators will increase more than proportionally to the growth of the top line. We expect new sales to contribute for additional 20 million in the 7 months of consolidation in 2010. And we expect the number of placements of Liaison machine in the full year to overtake 550 units and to achieve 600 units placed in the year. That's all that I wanted to say on the presentation. I would like now to leave the floor to a Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Massimo Vecchio of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. First of all, my compliments for the astonishing set of results. I have three questions, if I may. The placing rate, I'm trying to understand what can happen in 2011. I'm sure you're not ready to speak about it, but my question is, out of these 550 in 2010, is there any part of non-recurrent placings, like tenders that last more than 1 year and probably won't take place again in next year? So just to have a reasonable starting base. Second question is on your top line guidance. 20% organic growth, does it include or exclude Forex? And the third question is, it's probably strange to ask it to you, but we heard a lot of your competitors and companies in the healthcare space complaining about lower intention of purchases, above all in US. Clearly you are not seeing it, but can you expand a little bit on what is the market environment at the moment? Thanks.
Okay, Dr. Vecchio, I will take first and second, and then Andrea will, first and third, and Andrea will comment on the second. Let me start from the install base. It is true that we have enjoyed in 2010 certain large tenders which have been awarded to us in Italy and in South America. Is it recurrent or not? Honestly, it's very difficult to predict. But we always stated that this company should be able to, in order to guarantee that double-digit growth, to have a placement rate of between 500 and 600 systems per year. Keep in mind that next year you're going to have a combination of Liaison and Liaison XL, where the Liaison XL is a bigger system with a higher throughput. So I think we will initiate again from next year a discussion on number of instruments and contribution to top line, okay, because the total number of instruments as a combination of Liaison and XL may be lower, but that does not necessarily mean that the contribution to revenues is not in line with what we have been seeing before. As far as the U.S., I think that it is undeniable that in the U.S. the economic situation is difficult, as we have seen a couple of days ago with the midterm election. However, I think that the difference, as I stated in the past, is that DiaSorin has the privilege of playing in an area of specialty products that today, where the demand today is growing. And the second thing is that our business model does not require hospitals to purchase systems, so does not go into a CapEx situation that today is clearly difficult for some of the hospitals. So fortunately enough, our business model is somehow protected from the current negative environment in the U.S. Now, the third question was about the top-line growth, and Andrea is going to answer to that.
Yes, the guidance on a growth which is in excess of 20%, which clearly is taking into account what has been the improvement in the effects up until now. We don't know what is going to happen in the dollar in the next 3 months, and we've seen it devaluating again more recently. Remember, I strongly underline the fact in excess of 20%, which by our language means anywhere between 20 and 25%.
Okay, thank you very much. Just a follow-up on the placing rate. If I understand, then you see a number between 500 and 600 as a kind of reachable recurring placing rate going forward. Is it correct?
Listen, I'm going to use the Fifth Amendment here. I'm simply saying that we will need to educate you on total number of systems next year when we will have a combination of Liaison and Liaison Excels.
Okay.
And so I think that we will have that discussion beginning of next year. But again, keep in mind that I think 500 systems, 500, 750 systems for Liaison is something that the company has been doing. Going forward, the total number of systems may be lower because you place Liaison Excels with bigger customers. So
revenue per box may be higher.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much.
Next question.
The next question is from Philippa Gardner of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Good afternoon. A couple of questions, if I could. First of all, on your gross margins, and if we look at the Abbott distribution. Now, just thinking about this, excluding the sort of the 3 million for inventory. Are the distribution agreements going to kind of slowly tail off over the next 12 to 18 months, so we'll see a sort of a slow increase in gross margins, or is this going to suddenly come to a halt at some point and we'll see just one big kind of step up? So I'm just trying to understand that a bit better if I could. And then my second question is kind of related to some of the previous questions from the previous caller. A number of competitors have talked about sort of softening in physician visits, and I'm just sort of trying to understand how Diasorin is managing to effectively not suffer from this trend that some others have been at the mercy of. Thank you.
Okay, I'll take the question on gross margin, and Carlo will come back on the situation of the doctor visits. Now, as far as gross margin is concerned, first of all, the 3 million account in the quarter for a dilution of 2 percentage points, just to give you an indication. It is also true that today, almost 70% of our business, of our Murex business, still goes through Abbott as a distributor. And clearly, Abbott as a distributor demands a commission on their on their service. Now, what is happening, however, is that as we are getting more and more registration in different territories concerning the Murex product, by the same token, we are discontinuing Abbott distribution agreement to a rate which is about 5 per month. And so far, between June and today, we have discontinued some 15, 20 territories where Abbott used to be a distributor and is not any longer. So I don't think you will see all of a sudden a step up. It will be a gradual improvement at margin level that will take probably the next 12 months to deliver the full capacity.
Now, as far as the U.S. is concerned, as we all know, and it has been reported by labs and physician associations in the U.S., the number of patient visits has been declining in the order of 10%. Okay, now what does that mean? It means that because of the effect of unemployment, so people are losing insurance coverage. What has been declining has been the physical exams. So those exams that people usually do and run on a yearly basis is a general checkup of their status. As far as Diasorin is concerned, the main products that we sell in the U.S. today are products that are not necessarily related to the number of physical exams, but have to do with patients that do have an existing condition. We are talking about infectious disease products. We are talking about the patient is sick. We are talking about products that are used for maternal screening, and we are talking about, as far as vitamin D is concerned, a product that, interestingly enough, analyzing the request of vitamin D testing in the U.S. for the good majority, so over 50% of the requests today in the U.S. Do come from gynecologists and do come from associated with the original intended use of the product, which was osteoporosis. And it was surprising to us as well, but very interesting, because it means that as far as vitamin D and the use of vitamin D for other diseases, which is what has been discovered recently, still there is a great potential of volume testing increase, because over 50% of the requests is to do with the fact that gynecologists now understand value of vitamin D. So there has been a great education process within that community, and they are ordering vitamin D testing for women with bone disorders. Okay. And this is why I believe, again, that we do not necessarily suffer so much from the lack of doctor visit. Companies that do offer products that are more me too, and they are used for mainstream testing, like clinical chemistry panels, hematology panels, and so forth, that are typically associated with physical testing, you would see that in that case, but not in the diastolic case.
Okay, thank you. That's very clear.
Next question.
Giacomo Picchetto of Acros Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Three very basic questions. The first is on, if I understood well, you were saying that UK has an overcapacity, you're going to restructure the business. Could you give a figure of how much is going to be the saving for 2011? The second question is on again on the inventories, because I didn't understand quite well what's happening. Just to have a clear idea, these are 3 million are millions that goes to top line and then goes at zero gross profit, and that you expect this to go to profits because you're not going to distribute anymore with Abbott, if I understood right. Just correct me if I'm wrong. And the last thing, just very trivial, on the Murex acquisition one-off cost that you were mentioning, if you can give us a figure. Thanks.
Okay, I'll take the two questions on the stocks and the Murex or the cost of the acquisition, and Carlo will discuss the UK. Let me start from the last one. The extraordinary cost, I think we mentioned it also in the previous quarters, accounts for about 1.6 million related to the due diligence, and then we had another 2 million related to the financing of the acquisition. Remember that as we draw dividends from the US, there is a percentage of the withholding tax applied in the country that cannot be recovered, and that goes to cost in the P&L.
These are all in the operating profit, right? So the 107 would be higher than this 3.6.
That's correct.
Great, thanks.
As far as the initial stock is concerned, let me just again explain what has happened. We have bought all inventories of finished products through the asset purchase agreement. And because some of the Abbott distributors have remained as our distributor, at the day one after closing, we have resold the inventories that were needed to support their own distribution channel to them. Now clearly, and this is in the range of 3 million euros. Now clearly this resale, which is in the top line, as you correctly said, of the group in quarter three, and is a non-recurring item, so it's a one-off, has been performed as basically zero margin, or very little margin.
And you expect to substitute this 3 million with the sales of Murex, or we should expect this 3 million to not be the kind of one-off sales for Murex in Q3?
The Murex sales in Q3 contain a one-off component
of 3 million. Okay.
But you should expect it contains a number of other effects, including the fact that at the time of acquisition, so at the time of closing, the supply chain had been preventively stocked up in order not to disrupt the distribution to customers. So there has been a slow running in of the in-sale into our distribution network. As I believe Carlos said, we do expect Murex sales to be in line on a yearly basis to the $60 million that were the basis for the acquisition itself.
great.
Now, let me hand over to Carlo concerning the UK plans.
For the UK plans, there is, unfortunately, I cannot disclose you any information related to the savings. The process is ongoing. There are negotiations with the union representative and the employees. I gave you a number, which is 77 people, and this is public information, will be made redundant. I think that you can do a quick calculation in knowing more or less what the average pay of white collar is in the US or in the UK, or what could be the estimated saving for next year.
Thank you very much.
Next question.
The next question is from Paolo Mortarotti of Teorema. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Three questions for me. The first one, as you were mentioning, I thought a very interesting statistic about osteoporosis and vitamin D demand in the US. Probably a good moment to ask you an update on how things are progressing in Japan. The second question would relate to China, and if you could update on maybe the number of placements that took place in the region, and if you could express your comments on the change in the sort of health reimbursement systems that are planned over there and the implications for you. The third question has to do with actually your cash generation and your balance sheet. I mean, obviously it's been very strong throughout the last couple of years, and you have been already deleveraging fast post the Murex acquisition. So any thought on dividends or on form of shareholder redistributions, or alternatively, if you maybe could express some ideas on pipeline for acquisitions opportunities. Thank you very much.
Okay, and I think unfortunately I will not be able to provide you an answer to some of your questions, so let's go one by one. As far as Japan is concerned, we are, as I told you, in registration now for almost more than 2 years for the vitamin D test, years on vitamin D. It is a very long process because today there is no vitamin D product approved in Japan, and therefore being the first product, we need to do very complex clinical studies to get claims and reimbursement in Japan. And as I stated before, we expect that we will complete the process next year and start selling beginning of 2012. It's a major opportunity, in my opinion. Being the first and having been there now for 2 years, we think that we have a head start on all our competitors as far as that market is concerned. When it comes to China, I think I provided an information. We have an installed base of over 240 liaisons in China. We placed in excess of 80 systems per year, and I think that what we are seeing here is that well, first is that China is a vast opportunity, but the liaison is properly sized for the Chinese market. The Chinese market today is not a market as you have in the U.S., for example, where you have centralized lab of a big size, and therefore you need. To serve those, you need a big system like the Liaison XL. For China, where fundamentally the all lab testing is done in hospital, a typical benchtop system like the Liaison, it is what is key to enter in that market. And therefore, we expect that the Liaison throughout the next couple of years will continue to drive growth in that market. As far as cash generation, yes, in fact, we do have a very interesting cash generation. Dividend, you know, I think the expectation of most of the shareholders is not that we provide dividend, but is that we take that cash and we invest in opportunities like Murex, like Biotrin, in order to make this company more competitive. And And we continuously do that. We keep looking around for, as we said before, and as we've done before, for companies that are synergic with the business and where the price is right. And whenever we get a chance, we're gonna spend our cash, I think, in a wise way.
Thank you.
Next question.
The next question is from Martin Wales of UBS. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Carlo, can we start by talking about this machine placing situation? Your guidance suggests you're going to do something in the order of 78 machines in Q4, yet you've indicated that you're winning some business in Europe because of Roche's problems with vitamin D. Can you start by helping me square that particular circle? Because unless you've got a supply constraint, it feels like the number should be much bigger. In Q4 traditionally it's quite a decent quarter for machine placing. Have you seen a big pull through in Q3, or am I missing something? Maybe you could help explain that.
Listen, Martin, I think that you're right. Unfortunately, between when we printed the document and now what Andrea has commented, there is a slight there is a difference there. When Andrea has been commenting on the Q4, he said that we expect the installations of this year to get close to 600 units. So the number of 550 indicated there is not the correct one. We said 600. And okay. So I think that, by the way, we are in November right now, so we see what the rate is.
Yeah, I think you have a good idea.
Very good idea. So I think that we are quite confident we are going to make that number, considering a slowdown, which is very typical for December, because hospitals do not want to go through training and installation during the Christmas holidays.
Okay, and if we look into 2011, which I know you're not going to want to say too much about, but you seem to be indicating that you typically place 500 to 600 machines a year. To my knowledge, this is the first year you've placed in excess of 500 machines. Again, I'm slightly mystified, because one traditionally thinks you was placing 100 machines a quarter. Obviously, that was pre the Murex acquisition, but nonetheless, I'm slightly struggling to understand A, what you're saying there, and B, I do appreciate the point that XL will have higher revenues per machine than the others, but should we be thinking of 400 machines at a much higher revenue number, or how should we approximately be thinking about that?
Listen, I don't think that at this stage we are ready to have this discussion, but let me just throw a couple of comments on the table. First one is that I think that the company today has achieved a critical mass, which is allowing us to place, to increase our rate of placement, which is what you have seen happening in the last year. The fact that we've been investing in new geographies, being direct, is really helping instrument placement. As we said before, working with distributors sometimes is slowing down your placement rate. Now that we are direct, we can decide to invest. We're much more powerful in terms of our ability to sustain CapEx and then speed up the installment, the installation rate. The other thing that is happening is that gaining visibility and gaining credibility by the market, we now are seen as, in certain geographies where we cannot go direct, we are seen by some of the Roche distributors, Abbott distributors. I mean, these guys, we are seen as a valid opportunity in case, because of their own internal policies, the other competitor decide that they want to go direct. And this has been the case for Siemens, it has been the case for Roche, where they have decided in certain area, in certain countries, that they want to go direct and dismiss the distributor. So the distributor now has a chance to come to a company with a good closed system, with a system that can go to the customer base. As in this example, and this happened, for example, very successfully in Venezuela, which is a country where we did not have the direct reach, but the distributor, which was a Roche distributor, decided to work with us. Okay. Now, as far as the liaison Excel is concerned, I think that we will need to provide guidance when the time comes. Now is a little early to do so, but remember that we always stated that the liaison Excel has a throughput that is 30% higher than the current liaison. So you could expect that you take the current liaison revenue per system, and each liaison Excel placement will generate revenues which are 20-30% higher than that. But you also need to keep in mind that at the beginning of an instrument launch, you are going to have a mix of placements. Some go to those customers that are considered the leaders in the field, and so you're going to place a system there regardless of the revenue, because it is very important for the opinion leader to have the system. So I think that next year in 2011 is going to be a very interesting year, where we are going to have a combination of liaison and liaison Excel placements, and we will need to help you out to understand the business. I think that now is a little early to do so.
Okay, well, thanks for those helpful comments. One very dull question to finish, I'm afraid. Your tax rate, obviously it's crept back up to around about 38%. Is that the rate we should be using going forward?
Martin, unfortunately, as I think I pointed out in a number of quarters, our tax rate today is very much skewed by the high profitability of the U.S. operation, where, to be honest with you, I don't see any intention or any movement for the U.S. administration to try and lower the tax rate down. So I believe that the 38% will stay, and it's going to be very difficult to dilute it in the future. Even when you balance the current business with an increase of business in countries at lower tax rates, like, for instance, some European countries or Ireland.
Okay, I'll leave it there. Thanks very much.
Next question.
The next question is from Fraser Hall of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just two or three questions, if I may. First of all, just in terms of the XL launch, you talked in the statement briefly about the results of the beta site testing, which yielded what you describe as valuable information on how to improve system usability. I wonder if you could just give a little bit more detail on that, and just in terms of gaining CE mark, has that process taken longer than expected, or is it following the normal sort of timeline from your perspective? Secondly, just it would be interesting just to get a broad comment on pricing environment, you know, just broadly in Europe and US, whether you've seen any change in terms of pricing trends at all. And I guess thirdly, you now have a small additional competitor in the US market. Could you just confirm whether or not you've seen any sort of visibility of that new competitor, whether that's made any difference to your discussions with customers in the US? Thanks.
Let me start from the last question. The last question was competitors in vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As far as IDS is concerned, again, as I stated before, we don't see IDS as a competitor, because we clearly go to different accounts, in my opinion. The only country where we saw IDS has been Australia, with one particular account where we have decided, dealing with the Roche customers, that we are using a certain policy, and the policy is, if you want to come to us, you need to give us minimum 24, preferably 36 months agreement where we're going to place our system, and you're going to buy vitamin D from us, because this is what we always ask to our customers. And customers, all our Roche customers have in principle agreed to do so, and they signed agreement in that sense. But this particular Australian customer showed was very resilient, and they stated that their intention was to, whenever Roche was going to be available, to go back to Roche. And at that point, we refused to sign yearly agreements. Okay?
Yep.
But IDS, probably because they're looking for revenue, so they went for a short deal. So this IDS, in general, we don't see, honestly, IDS popping up anywhere. As far as other companies are concerned, I think that everybody, again, as I said, is talking about it. I expect that in 2011, it may be soon, Abbott will try to launch a vitamin D test on the Architect. They've been talking a lot about it. So they may decide to make it available in Europe. I don't know about the quality. I don't know much about the product, but strong rumors are in the field. As far as the U.S. is concerned, I don't foresee any competition in the U.S. next year for the simple reason that the FDA has made very complex the approval process for vitamin D. When we went through the 510K originally, the 510K was fairly traditional, but because of the fact that there have been, since then, as you know, the intended use for vitamin D has changed significantly, now we had visibility from the FDA to the fact that for registration purposes, you need to do prospective studies in winter and in summer, enrolling patients from different geographies in the U.S., so it's becoming a very, very long process, and for that reason, I think that in 2011 it's going to be very hard for anybody to have a vitamin D test approved in the United States. The second one is pricing environment. I think that clearly the pricing is going under pressure today. But it's going under pressure because in the private lab, some big chains of private laboratories are now extending their reach through continents. And so they ask now for consolidated agreements worldwide with one price fits all. And very clearly, the company that signed that agreement would benefit from guaranteed business and benefit from volumes and opportunities. But then the other side of the coin is that you need to provide some discounts. And in some instances, with some of our products, for very large deals, we had to make some price concessions. Okay. In the rest of the business, I don't necessarily see any difference in the pricing that you find out there with our products. But again, keep in mind, this is our company sells a lot of specialties, and fortunately, this is one of the barriers we have vis-a-vis price pressure. Now, your last, now, did you have a third question?
Usability
of Excel.
Yeah.
Usability of Excel was concluded with good results, and we also have concluded in the United States the clinical studies for the 510K of the system. So instruments were placed in two sites where we run clinical studies, and by the end of November we're going to file with the FDA for 510K in the U.S., which we plan to get at the beginning of the second quarter next year. To start introducing the US, the Liaison Excel, starting from end of second quarter, beginning of third quarter. So far, the reaction on the system has been very positive. Again, as I kept saying many times before, our challenge is that we need to keep customers focused on the Excel and without asking us to replace the current liaison. And that is going to be the challenge for 2011. We already discussed many times what's the company policy to try to avoid the effect of cannibalization on your own sales next year.
Thanks, Colin.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Maura Gardero of One Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and I've got one question, please. If you can maybe give us an update on the position of Roche regarding the vitamin D for the Australian market and for Europe. And maybe if you can elaborate a little bit on what was the Roche market share in Europe. Thank you.
Listen, to be honest with you, I feel a little embarrassed because I don't want to comment on Roche's position on vitamin D. I think it's Roche's responsibility to do so. As far as market share is concerned, we have a good visibility of that. I think Roche had a reasonable market share in France, and simply because France is a country where you have many small labs, where Roche had a very strong install base, and we did not reach those labs with a liaison. As you know, we are more focused on the mid-sized hospital and the central lab business. And very marginal sales in the other European countries. I think this is the only thing I can tell you about Roche.
Thank you.
The next question is from Fabrizio Barini of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Just a quick one on the acquisition in Australia. Could you give us any numbers on this acquisition and the impact for 2010 from this operation? Thank you.
Yes, I think that the numbers have been disclosed in the management discussion and analysis that we have published. The acquisition of distribution rights in the which happened in the space of the third quarter accounts for 7 million euros, of which 2.5 have been which are divided into installments, and 2.5 have been already paid out during Q3. The remaining will be paid out over the next 18 months.
Thank you.
The next question is from Stephanie Bathes of Pascal Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Three questions for me. Please, could you repeat the number of non-recurring items due to Murex acquisition that are included in the EBIT line? I mean, I understood 3.6 million euros. Is this right? And how much of this was registered into Q3? This is my first question. The second question, I'm just going back on Roche because you have been mentioning the fact that you have been gaining market share in Europe. And if I understand well, this was against Roche. Could you be a little bit more specific on this? And the third question is on the mass spectrometry. Do you see this as a potential competitive threat for DSRE? Thank you very much.
You go for the phone.
Okay. Let me just take the non-recurring item. As far as, I think we mentioned all in all 3.6 million, which are divided into two. 1.6 is related to cost of legal and tax consultancy, so related to the due diligence and the definition of the asset purchase agreement. And the second part is related to withholding tax on intercompany financing, which accounts for about a couple of million. None of these costs have occurred in quarter three of this year because the acquisition was clearly completed in June, as of the 1st of June. Now, I hand over to Carlo for Roche and Mastec.
Thank you. Listen, I will try to make it short because we've been discussing this over and over in the last few quarters. Mass spectrometry is technology that today has been adopted by few centers, especially in the United States and in the United Kingdom. It's a very difficult technology to use, and the adoption rate in Europe is very small. As far as Roche is concerned, Roche had a product which was not necessarily a key product for them. They were able to gain market share in countries where they had an installed base. They always been a relatively small player to this field compared to market shares we had. The fact that they've lost, they were not able to deliver the right quality of product as offered us the opportunity to regain some of the customers that were using Roche systems, and all of a sudden were found with a suboptimal product. Overall, the total Roche market share from the number we have seen in this business was very, very small. Okay. Next question.
Mr. Rosa, Mr. Sonaldi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.